I want you to imagine, just for a second, that you're booking a highly complex trip. We're talking a $100,000 completely secret trip to the Swiss Alps.
Wow.
Yeah, private jets, off-grid eco resorts, highly sensitive security details, the absolute works. Now imagine booking that entire experience without Google, without Expedia, without your bank, or really any traditional centralized server ever knowing it happened.
Total digital silence.
Total, absolute digital silence. It sounds like something straight out of a spy novel, but that is exactly what we're getting into today. Welcome to the Deep Dive. We are thrilled to have you here in the room with us as we explore a piece of technology that is quietly attempting to completely rewrite the rules of global commerce.
It really does sound like science fiction, I mean, at first glance. But the architecture for this exact scenario isn't just some vague concept. It is fully mapped out. And we are so glad you're joining us to look at this because the implications extend way, way beyond just booking a vacation.
Absolutely. So today we're looking at a fascinating, highly confidential internal document. It's dated March 10th, 2026,
Right.
and it's an internal product specification for something called the Sovereign Wayfarer, specifically the Agent-to-Agent Travel and Hospitality Edition.
Which is quite a mouthful.
It is, yeah. And this is being developed by two groups you likely haven't heard of, the Dereticular Software Division and Locutus Finance. Our mission for this deep dive is to completely unpack how this edge computing cryptographic software is designed to bypass legacy travel monopolies. We are going to look at how it overhauls privacy, trust, and payments specifically for high net worth individuals.
Yeah, the ultra wealthy.
Exactly. Okay, let's unpack this. The document starts by painting a rather grim picture of the modern agent-to-agent or A2A travel industry. They basically call the current landscape fundamentally broken.
Yeah, they don't hold back.
Not at all. Because when you think about how travel works right now, the entire global infrastructure relies on these massive centralized global distribution systems, the GDS.
Right, like Sabre or Amadeus.
Exactly. These giant corporate hubs, they handle almost every booking on the planet. But to do that, they're harvesting an incredible amount of user data at every single touch point.
What's fascinating here is why this specific demographic, the ultra wealthy, is acting as the catalyst to break that system. We are talking about high net worth clients, massive family offices, elite luxury advisors.
People spending the big money.
Right, and they are looking at this centralized landscape and demanding an immediate exit because they are dealing with highly, highly sensitive data. We aren't just talking about, a name and an email address for a newsletter.
No.
We are talking about passport numbers, severe dietary restrictions, private security details, private jet tail numbers.
Exact minute-by-minute itineraries.
Exactly, for these remote island getaways. And the document explicitly points out that these clients are flat out refusing to have this data sitting on hackable centralized cloud servers anymore.
Which makes perfect sense. I mean, if someone hacks a central database and knows exactly which remote Alpine lodge a CEO is going to be at and exactly when their security detail
That's a
rotates,
massive liability.
it's a physical security threat. The risk of a data breach is no longer just a digital annoyance for these people,
Yeah.
but data harvesting is really only half the problem the document outlines.
Right.
The other half is the financial friction. The traditional host agencies are taking these massive commission cuts from the travel advisors who are, doing all the actual heavy lifting, and the international banking rails.
Oh, they're incredibly antiquated.
Right. So antiquated that local destination management companies, the DMCs, the people who actually run the local tours, source the vehicles, manage the lodges on the ground, they are sometimes waiting up to 60 days after a trip concludes to actually get paid.
Yeah. Which is wild. Think about the operational strain that puts on a local business. A DMC in Switzerland has to front the cost for the luxury chalet, the private chef, the helicopter transfers, all while waiting 2 months for a traditional cross-border wire transfer to clear.
Clearing multiple correspondent banks.
Exactly, with each one taking their own fee along the way. It's a slow, leaky, and incredibly expensive system.
Which brings us to their proposed solution, the Sovereign Wayfarer. Think of it as the ultimate stealth travel agency. It is a specialized software deployment, specifically an OpenClaw operating system that runs on a physical piece of hardware called a Sentry node.
Right.
So instead of logging into a massive corporate website like a normal travel agent, the advisor is running their own decentralized, zero-trust travel agency right from a physical box sitting on their desk.
A literal box.
Yeah. But I have to play devil's advocate here for a second because the document lists the cost of this setup at just $399 for a perpetual license per node, plus a 0.5% smart contract settlement fee. How is a $399 box supposed to disrupt multi-billion-dollar global distribution systems?
Well, that aggressive price point is entirely strategic. They aren't trying to make their money on the hardware itself.
Oh, okay.
By lowering the barrier to entry to essentially the cost of a standard office monitor, they are facilitating the rapid creation of a massive peer-to-peer mesh network. This isn't just a software tool being sold to agencies. It is an invisible dark pool travel consortium.
Wow.
By putting a node on the desk of a retail advisor in New York and another node on the desk of a DMC in the Swiss Alps, they connect them directly. The GDS, the corporate host agencies, the traditional banking wires, they are all completely bypassed.
It shifts the entire industry from centralized corporate routing to direct, secure, peer-to-peer commerce. Here's where it gets really interesting. Let's look at the actual intelligence running on this $399 box, because the bill of materials they outline is just wild.
It really is.
It includes something called the Black Book CRM module. Now, in the corporate world, customer relationship management, CRM, always implies a cloud database that tracks everything your clients do.
Right. Salesforce, things like that.
Exactly. But this Black Book is an air-gapped, locally hosted database for VIP data. It literally never touches the cloud. Your passport, your severe peanut allergy, your jet tail number, it lives on the physical storage of that specific Sentry node and nowhere else.
Right. But to make that local data actionable, they built in an artificial intelligence component. They call it the Bionic Advisor.
Okay, yes, let's talk about the Bionic Advisor, because the technical specification says this runs a local large language model. Specifically, it lists a Llama 3.8b instruct-v2.jguf model,
yeah.
And it notes that it has been quantized to 4-bit. I need you to translate that for us, because quantized to 4-bit sounds incredibly dense. What does that actually mean for the travel agent sitting at their desk?
It does sound like heavy technical jargon, but the concept is actually brilliant for this specific use case. Normally, a highly advanced artificial intelligence model requires a massive warehouse of supercomputers to function. Think about the infrastructure required to run something like ChatGPT.
Huge server farms.
Right. But quantization is essentially a compression technique. By quantizing the model to 4-bit, Deuriticular's engineers have effectively shrank that massive AI brain down so efficiently that it can run locally, smoothly, and quickly right on the standard processors inside that little $399 Sentry node.
So it doesn't need the internet to think.
Exactly. It doesn't need a connection to a supercomputer. And this local model isn't just a generic chatbot either. It has been meticulously pre-trained on a massive corpus of global geography, transit logistics, and luxury hospitality standards.
It actually understands the high-stakes nuances of elite travel planning. The document actually gives a perfect, relatable example of how this works in practice. Imagine that travel agent sitting at their desk in New York. They type into their local user interface. Client Alpha needs a 7-day, highly secure, off-grid trip to the Swiss Alps. No public airports. Must accommodate severe peanut allergy.
Okay.
Now, in the traditional world, that prompt, along with Client Alpha's identity, would be sent to a corporate client processed by a public API and potentially stored or reviewed by a third party to train future AI models.
And that right there is the massive security leak the high net worth clients are trying to avoid.
Mm.
But with the sovereign Wayfarer, the workflow is entirely contained.
How so?
The local OpenClaw software processes that prompt internally. It cross-references the air-gapped Black Book CRM to quietly grab Client Alpha's real name, passport, and private jet info. Then, without ever querying a central database, it pings the encrypted peer-to-peer network, looking specifically for DMCs in Switzerland who are also running a Wayfarer node.
So it's basically whispering into the dark pool, you know, who can handle this highly specific request.
Precisely. And the local processing synthesizes all of this. The client's secret details and the Swiss DMC's live net rate inventory that it pulled from the peer-to-peer ping. And it generates a beautiful white-labeled PDF itinerary.
Just like that.
Just like that. And the most crucial part for you to take away from this, not a single byte of this highly sensitive data is ever leaked to public AI models like OpenAI or Google.
Total data sovereignty. It really changes the game for privacy. But creating a secret, highly secure itinerary is really only half the battle. You still have to pay for it.
Right.
And we mentioned earlier how broken the traditional payment system is, with DMCs waiting 60 days for a wire transfer. The internal document outlines their alternative, calling it the sovereign solution and its settlement engine.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, this is where the Lucidus Ledger comes into play.
Oh.
They are utilizing decentralized smart contracts to completely automate and secure the transaction. They are removing the traditional correspondent banks entirely.
Okay, let's walk through the exact flow outlined in the document.
Sure. The high net worth client decides to book that Swiss Alps trip. The total cost is $100,000. They pay the travel agent.
And immediately, the agent's Sentry node takes those funds and locks them inside a Lucidus Ledger smart contract. It is essentially an unhackable digital vault sitting between the agent and the DMC.
Yes. And once those funds are locked, the Swiss DMC's node receives a cryptographic signal. It mathematically verifies that the funds are secured in the vault. The system calls this proof of funds.
Proof of funds, okay.
The DMC now knows, with 100% certainty, that the money is there. They don't need to demand a 50% upfront wire transfer anymore, which is standard practice today, just to secure a booking. The smart contract guarantees the total amount.
And then the trip actually happens. The client flies their private jet, avoids the public airports, eats their peanut-free meals, and arrives at the off-grid lodge in the Alps. The moment they check in, it triggers what the system calls proof of stay.
Right. And instantly, the smart contract executes its hard-coded programming. It automatically disperses the funds from that digital vault.
Yeah.
$85,000, the net rate for the trip, goes directly into the Swiss DMC's digital wallet.
Wow.
And the remaining $15,000, the travel agent's commission, goes instantly back to the agent's wallet.
No 60-day wait. No international wire transfer fees eating into the margins.
No banking holidays holding up the funds.
It is instantaneous, borderless settlement. But... and I want to poke some holes in this, because with any bleeding-edge tech, relying entirely on smart contracts and hardware nodes introduces a whole new set of vulnerabilities.
Of course.
I look at this $100,000 locked in a digital vault, and I immediately think of the crypto markets. What if I lock that money in escrow and the cryptocurrency crashes 20% tomorrow? The DMC in Switzerland isn't going to want to take a massive loss just because the market dipped while they were waiting for the client to arrive?
It is a highly valid concern. And the engineers at Lucidus Finance clearly anticipated it, because they dedicated a significant portion of their risk mitigation strategy to it. It's labeled RFIN01 in the document.
Ah, sorry.
Their solution is strict and straightforward. The escrow system does not hold volatile cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin or Ethereum. It strictly utilizes fully collateralized stablecoins, specifically USDC or USDT, or official central bank digital currencies, CBDCs.
So it's pegged.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because these specific tokens are mathematically and financially pegged one-to-one with fiat currencies like the US dollar, they completely eliminate the risk of price volatility during that waiting period. $100,000 locked in January is still worth exactly $100,000 when the client checks in during March.
Okay, that makes sense. That covers the financial volatility risk.
Yeah.
But what about the physical hardware risk? We talked about how the BlackBook CRM lives locally on the Sentry node to protect it from cloud hacks.
Yeah.
But what happens if the travel agent in New York spills a massive cup of hot coffee right onto their $399 node and the hardware just dies? If it's not backed up to a Google server or an AWS cloud, does all that incredibly sensitive VIP passport data just vanish forever?
If the data only lived on that one physical hard drive, it would indeed be a catastrophic single point of failure. But the architecture prevents that using something called encrypted sharding, which they know utilizes Freenet logic.
I read that section, and the best way I can picture Freenet logic is to think of it like a digital paper shredder.
Okay, let's hear it.
Imagine you take a highly confidential document, you run it through a shredder, and then you lock each individual paper shred inside its own impenetrable safe. Then you hide those thousands of safes all across the entire deireticular peer-to-peer network, scattering them on different nodes all over the world.
That is an excellent analogy.
Mm-hmm.
The data is heavily encrypted, fragmented into those shreds, and then distributed across the decentralized network of other travel agents and DMCs. But here is the critical security feature. None of those other nodes can read the fragments they are storing. To them, it's just cryptographic noise taking up a tiny bit of background storage. They have no idea what it is or who it belongs to.
So how does the agent get it back after the coffee spill?
The only way to call all those specific fragments back across the network, assemble them perfectly, and decrypt the original information is by using the original agent's physical sovereign key.
The physical key.
Right. The document specifies this takes the form of a hardware YubiKey. So the agent buys a new node, plugs in their physical YubiKey, and the network rebuilds their BlackBook CRM. Even if the hardware is completely destroyed, the data is recoverable, but only by the explicitly authorized agent holding that physical key.
It is remarkably resilient. They really leaned into ensuring this dark pool doesn't collapse from a simple hardware failure. But there is one more major physical risk they highlight, and it's about connectivity.
Right, the network itself.
Let's step away from the Swiss Alps for a second and say you are booking a remote safari DMC in Kenya. They are out in the bush. What happens if they lose their local internet connection? The smart contract handshakes, the peer-to-peer matching, none of that can happen if the node goes offline.
This is where we see a fascinating hardware synergy within the company's broader ecosystem. To mitigate internet failure in remote locations, DReticular aggressively cross-sells their other proprietary products.
Well, the networking gear.
Right. The Sovereign by SP, or the Nomad Link, which provides dedicated LTE connectivity. They essentially integrate localized network failsafes and satellite uplinks to ensure these remote DMC Wayfarer nodes maintain 99.9% uptime. They design the system to be completely independent of whatever the local power grid or traditional telecommunications infrastructure happens to be doing.
They really have thought of everything to keep this invisible consortium running smoothly. And that attention to detail extends to the client experience during the trip as well.
Yes, the concierge.
Exactly. The document outlines a feature called the Sovereign Concierge. When the itinerary is finalized, the Wayfarer system automatically generates an encrypted, ephemeral chat link for the client on a secure app like Signal or Telegram.
Think of it like a highly secure burner phone connection, just for the duration of the vacation.
Right. If the client is on the ground in Switzerland and decides, at the last minute, that they want to completely change a dinner reservation, they don't have to call a 1-800 number. They just message this secure bot. The message routes instantly to the local DMC's node and the U.S. agent's node at the exact same time. Everyone is on the same page in real time, ensuring flawless execution on the ground without sending unencrypted emails back and forth.
This raises an important question, though, regarding the integrity of the network itself. We've talked a lot about bypassing centralized authorities like the traditional host agencies and the GDS, but if there is no central authority verifying who is who, how do they prevent fraudulent actors from entering the system?
Right. If anyone with an internet connection can buy a node for $399, what stops a scammer from buying a box, pretending to be a luxury villa in Tuscany, and just stealing those stablecoins when the smart contract executes?
The document details their vetting protocol to prevent exactly that, and relies entirely on a web of trust model.
Web of trust.
Right. A new DMC cannot just buy a node, plug it in, and immediately start accepting $100,000 smart contracts. The network physically won't allow it. To become active and visible in the peer-to-peer mesh, they must be cryptographically signed and vouched for by at least two existing trusted retail advisors who are already established on the network.
It is entirely reputation-based, but hard-coded into the cryptography. This is a massive paradigm shift. Think about the difference here for you as the listener. We are moving away from corporate verified trust, where a giant company simply promises you that a vendor is legitimate because they paid a listing fee, to pure verified cryptographic trust.
The actual practitioners on the network.
Yes. The elite travel advisors. They have to put their own digital reputation on the line to vouch for a new DMC. If they vouch for a scammer, their own node's trust score plummets, and other agents will stop doing business with them. It incentivizes absolute honesty.
It forces the network to self-regulate. And to keep this entire web of trust, the smart contracts, and the local AI intelligence running perfectly, the system pushes out routine over-the-air or OTA updates.
Background updates.
Exactly. These updates keep the local Llama model constantly refreshed on new travel logistics, shifting visa requirements, and even the evolving phrasing and standards of luxury hospitality, all without ever exposing the user's data to the cloud.
So what does this all mean? We have looked at the air-gapped CRM, the local AI quantization, the instant smart contract settlements, and the cryptographic web of trust. Let's look at the strategic impact outlined at the very end of this internal document. DReticular and Lycotis are clearly not just trying to build a neat organizational tool for a few boutique travel agents.
Not at all.
They are actively positioning themselves as a decentralized, dark pool competitor to the absolute titans of the industry. Companies like Virtuoso, Sabre, Hotelbeds, they are attempting to replace massive corporate intermediaries with a decentralized, self-regulating army of edge compute nodes.
And that gets right to the heart of why this technology matters far beyond the travel industry. This deep dive isn't just about exploring some cool new software for booking private jets. It is about understanding the shifting tectonic plates of global commerce and privacy.
Right.
The document makes a profound assertion. Capturing the most lucrative segment of any global market today, the high net worth individuals and the massive family offices, now requires offering absolute uncompromising data sovereignty. The ultra wealthy are no longer willing to trade their personal privacy for digital convenience, especially when the technology now exists to give them both simultaneously.
It is a complete disruption of the status quo. No more centralized data harvesting, no more delayed international payments, no more corporate middlemen taking massive commission cuts just for routing a message, just a quiet, invisible, incredibly efficient peer-to-peer network operating in the background.
It's the future of private commerce.
We want to thank you for joining us in the room today to unpack this highly classified glimpse into what could very well be the future of decentralized commerce. We covered a lot of technical ground, from freenet shredding to smart contracts, but we want to leave you with one final thought to mull over as you go about your day. If the ultra-wealthy are quietly moving their entire lives off the grid, demanding these invisible decentralized networks to avoid corporate data harvesting, how long before everyday consumers realize exactly what they are giving away and demand that exact same dark pool privacy for a simple weekend getaway? Until next time, keep diving deep.